You're listening to the New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planning. If you're looking to take your next strategic step towards multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com has a new look, a new host, and new resources. Take a minute and check out the Church Planning Masterclass with lessons from leaders like Matt Chandler, D.A. Horton, Trillia Newbell, and more at newchurches.com.
Hey, Ed Stetzer here, New Churches Podcast, and I really should get, you know, Daniel M. had this amazing introduction that those of your long-term listeners know. He said the same thing for 600 episodes, and I love him for that. So I'm not that guy, but I'm Ed Stetzer. I lead the Wheaton College Billy Graham Center. Also have the privilege of partnering with the Send Network, now with the New Churches Podcast, but also the new newchurches.com. It seems a little bit of a tautology, the new newchurches.com. And if we redo it again, it'll be the new newchurches.com, all free now. And we're super excited, the partnership with the Send Network, to provide all of those resources to you as well. So we've actually been going through and discussing most frequently asked church planting questions. And you can actually, if you type in, church planting and questions in the Google, the kids use the Google, you'll actually find that these are some of the questions that come up. So to have this conversation today, I'm actually talking with Clint Clifton. He's the founding pastor of Pillar, which is a multiplying church in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. It doesn't really tell the whole story. There's a whole marine connection. There's a weird Iceland thing. There's all kinds of fascinating things, but we don't have all of the time to unpack all that. We might get to it in the episode. He's a senior director of resource and research strategy at the North American Mission Board, author of several books on periodicals on the subject of church planting, including Church Planting Thresholds, a gospel-centered church planting guide and church planting primer, and the host of the Church Planting Podcast. So a competing podcast, might I add, to the New Churches Podcast. But we don't care. We're all in this together. We love everybody here at the New Churches. Okay, let me also mention, too, if you have not checked out the Church Planting Masterclass, let me encourage you to head over to thenewchurches.com where you can access the first few chapters of the course, Kingdom and Character, featuring lots of church planting leaders, evangelical leaders, and more, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, Trillia Newbell, J.D. Greer, and more. And it's all free. We like free, and partnership with the Send Network as well. Okay, Clint. So we are going to start just talking about what church planting is and why it matters. When we look to the Bible, the words church planting do not appear.
Right.
Inevitably, some well-meaning church planter will look to the words in the New Testament, where it says, where it's actually 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the growth. That's of course taking that verse out of its context. He's actually talking about like planting seeds, but we want to say church planting's in the Bible, but church planting, those words are not in the Bible. So how is it in the Bible if it's not in the Bible? Help me understand, Clint Clifton.
Well, the way I think about it is I think about it a lot like the word Trinity, also not in the Bible yet.
Are you saying the Trinity is not true?
No, I'm saying.
Are you on my podcast denying the Trinity right here?
No.
Just want to be clear. Okay, sorry.
Yes, I mean, obviously the Trinity is true. It's a true concept, that not that we get from one passage of Scripture that uses the word Trinity, but from an overview of the entire Scriptures, and that leads us to an understanding that the God exists in three persons. And I think church planting is a lot like that too, because what we have is the context of the New Testament is entirely a church planting context. The characters of the New Testament, the letters of the New Testament, all of it is in the context of starting new churches. And so it's a little bit like, the water that we're swimming in, that the New Testament characters are swimming in.
And it's interesting because, fish don't know they're in water, but the New Testament is a document about church planting. The letters were written to new churches that are being established. The Gospels were the text upon which they would build their lives, and more than the person of Christ expressed and described throughout. There are some verses that do sort of point to that.
Yeah.
We look at verses like Acts 20:28. It says, where there's this directive to these new elders, pay attention to the flock, which the Holy Spirit's made your overseers, take care of the church of God. But again, and we can actually see, one of the things that I think is important is to see how the disciples responded to the Great Commission.
Yeah.
They didn't respond to the Great Commission by saying, well, that's great, I want to go individually evangelize. I mean, they did that too. But they responded to the Great Commission by going and planting churches. Probably Thomas as far away as India, where there are churches that, you know, claim lineage and descent from his church planting activity. So, but it seems now, I mean, why, if church planting is biblical, but there are so many churches that aren't healthy or strong right now, why plant more churches when so many are just trying to get by, barely surviving?
I think in our context, it's hard not to see that because in the city I live in, you know, there are church buildings all over the place that outlived the congregations that erected them. So, you know, you got this very present reality that churches are struggling and dying, and it's intuitive to think, well, we should just focus on helping those churches do better. And, you know, in a lot of ways, your books, reading your books were what, you know, shaped my thinking on this. But, you know, when you think about the apostles themselves, hearing Jesus's words, go baptize, teach, and make disciples, and then see that they responded directly with what we read in the book of Acts, it asks the question to us, what happened? Why are we responding differently than they responded? Their response was church planting, and we respond in a whole bunch of different ways. But I think it's one of those cases where, you know, the Great Commission means so many things that it almost has lost its particular meaning.
Yeah. So, church planting is not the norm. Now we're talking to you. The New Churches podcast is a church planting oriented podcast, obviously. But church planting is not the norm. Depending on how you count and who doesn't count, you know, 5% of American churches plant another church, you know, give one in one study time frame. So if the normative expression of missional ministry is in the New Testament, I remember preaching this at a seminary chapel and people getting mad at me. I don't work at that seminary anymore. But if the normative expression of New Testament Christianity was tied up in church planting, and today only 5% are involved in the time frame of the study, what's wrong? And how do we fix it?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems to make a lot of sense.
I need you to solve all the problems on this podcast. What do you mean you don't know?
It seems to make a lot of sense when we talk about it like that. It's really clear. But, you know, going back to the issue of the Great Commission as a call to start new churches, I think for a lot of Christians, it's just there's a disconnect between, you know, the idea that the Bible commands us to do this, maybe because of what we talked about in the beginning, that it's not explicitly stated, go plant churches. But in some ways, I've heard you make the argument that the Great Commission is a call to start new churches. So if you were, you know, a pastor and a person came up to you and said, you know, why are we getting involved in this church planting? And you were going to defend that idea just using the scripture, how would you do that?
Well, I would actually point to the practice of the New Testament believers. And, you know, and there are some, again, you know, part of the challenge is the water. Again, the church planting is the water in which they swim. Now, I would say one of the things we might want to do is the words church planting are actually a modern, that's a few decades old. So people called it different things. Church extension back in the day, extending the church into new places, new church development. But for me, I actually see pictures of it, like Titus 1:5 that actually says, you know, that I left you in Crete, so you might put reign in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. So, I mean, those churches came into existence. There was something here that was real and present. So when I see verses like that, and I see the work of the New Testament Christians, there's clearly a pattern, particularly the ministry of Paul. Yeah. Paul goes into a city. Actually, what's fascinating is once Paul has established an entry place. He sends a beachhead in a city that he considers that region evangelized, right? So, we reached here because there's one church in one big city in this huge region, but he would expect that those churches would then plant churches that, and actually late first century, we actually see that missionary bishops sending out people into villages and more. So, when I look particularly at the words of Jesus about the church in Matthew 18, for example, that I will build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then from there, that's Matthew 16, 18. And then from there, we see the Acts of the Apostles, right? The book of Acts. But particularly, you can't miss the work of Paul, who we have just so much content about because of how he planted. This was the normative expression, of New Testament Christianity. When Paul had this vision, come over here and help us, to the man from Macedonia, they went to Philippi, and he planted a church. So it's just the overwhelming evidence is there. Now, the question then becomes is, all right, we know that was a missionary situation. We know that there was no, I mean, the Church of Philippi was the first church on the soil of Europe. Yeah. So if we know that's the case, we could say, all right, 2,000 years later, the call is different. So let me say, and this is always interesting, maybe it's not interesting to you, but it's interesting to some people. I've actually written more on church revitalization than I have on church planning. So I'm not anti-church revitalization. I think there's a lot more churches that need to be revitalized, and we've got a lot of work to do. But the challenge is, I think people, you can spend countless hours, weeks, months, years revitalizing churches that don't really want to be revitalized.
Yeah, when I think about this,
therein is the challenge. It's easier to birth a baby than it is to raise the dead. Yeah. And stuck churches often want to stay stuck.
Yeah, I find it so interesting that in the last few years, there's been this sort of church planning and church revitalization are pitted against one another. You know, especially when I'm going to seminaries, I'm just feeling that the air on the seminary campuses, everybody wants to revitalize a church where 10 years ago, everybody wanted to plant a church. And I think, you know, in a lot of ways, revitalizing a church used to just be called getting a job at a church, you know, and everybody wanted it to grow. And so there was the assumption that when you went to a church, you were going to try to help it grow and overcome difficulties. When we talk about, you know, replanting, particularly the North American Mission Board, you know, it's a lot more akin to church planting than it is revitalization, in that we're going and the people that are left there know that we're coming there to restart it. And so the question I always ask is, if your members don't know they're being revitalized, then you're not revitalizing the church. That seems like a key piece to me.
No, I think so. And there's an intentionality in church planting. And I would say a missionary endeavor. This is why I don't think everybody should plant a church, but everyone can be part of church revitalization. But I think for us, that particular call is an apostolic call. We don't use the term apostolic as much. I used to, years ago, I worked for a mission agency, and we created this newsletter, the Apostolic, something about apostolic. And we got all these complaints about it. And here's the thing. I think when we go around, and the big A apostle is not what we're talking about. We're talking about an apostolic impulse. So fast forward 2,000 years later, I think in a world where there are established churches all around, you know, I'm recording this from Wheaton. There's a lot of churches in Wheaton. Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of stuck and stagnant churches in Wheaton. I'm not planting a church in Wheaton, but I think there's a great need to plant churches all around Chicagoland, even when there are established churches, because that apostolic impulse tells us to start something new. And in starting something new, and don't you miss this, in starting something new, we have higher percentage of people who are converts. We are engaging people that are not otherwise engaged by the church. So sometimes people ask me, is there ever a place where there's not a need for a new church? And I used to give the example of Pitcairn Island, where there were, I forget the number of people who lived there, but less than 100 people on the island. They all go to church every week. You probably don't need to plant a new church there. But then people objected to that for reasons that I don't have time to unpack. But so what I would say, there may be places where that's the case, but most places in the people where people would listen to this podcast, planting a new church will reach people that otherwise not work. Yeah. It's a continuation of an apostolic impulse that goes back 2,000 years. And I think people should be still saying today, here I am, Lord, send me. So, okay, so let's talk about this, right? So when we talk about the people like the, book of in the apostles and Paul, I've mentioned already, what stands out in your mind, Clint, that specifically for Acts, that needs to shape more of our church planting efforts today?
Well, there are models of church planting in the New Testament, and particularly in the book of Acts. You know, I think about the, we talk a lot about models today, and, you think about the sort of multi-site model of church, or, go back even into the church growth movement. We have seeker-sensitive models and lots of different ways that are expressions of church here locally. But the approach to multiplying the gospel, even in the New Testament, was varied. I think of, sort of the linear approach from the Apostle Paul going from Antioch on his missionary journeys. If I understand correctly, it was like over the course of 13 years, traveled like 7,000 miles and planted 15 churches or so during that season of time. It was still a very linear approach, one after one after one. And then, you know, you've got other spots where you got other spots like in Ephesus where he gathered people together and trained them and equipped them and then sent them out. And so I think, you know, going back to the water comment, I do think that there are various expressions and models, even just in the New Testament, and not thinking about today and what we see going on around us today, but even in the New Testament, we see that.
Nice. Okay. So let's kind of talk some. I've mentioned some of the cast of the New Testament. Yeah. We talked about Paul and we've talked about some about the apostles. We haven't really talked much about Jesus. And, you know, there's one book that talks about Jesus, the church planter, and him. Or talk to us about Jesus in relationship to church planting. Where does that, because I mean, people might say, we just talked about the kingdom of God 80 times, talks about the church twice.
Yeah.
Why church planting is a focus when the kingdom of God is such a focus in the teaching and ministry of Jesus?
Yeah. Well, a couple things about that. First, I think that the reason in the Great Commission that Jesus didn't say go plant churches is obviously because the church was a relatively new concept at the time. And so Jesus saying go baptize, teach, and make disciples is in essence saying plant churches, because what he described in
churchy.
What he described in baptism, teaching, and disciple making is what is the substance of what the local church does. So it, even Jesus's own words in go baptize, teach, and make disciples were, in essence, he was saying go and make churches. So that's one piece. But then I think about Jesus himself as the church planter. You know, we were just talking a couple episodes ago with Brad Briscoe, you know, about smaller expressions of the church. And Jesus's gathering of the 12, intense discipleship of them, and then their sending. He taught them the word of God. He was the word of God. He broke bread with them. So all of the elements of church existed in he and his apostles, and not even counting the extended. So in that way, Jesus was a church plant. He planted a small church that multiplied a lot, you might say. But then I think also Jesus was a church planter in a cosmic sense. He left heaven. He came to earth as a missionary, and he established the church. And so Jesus himself is our true hero, church planter.
Love it. Okay, love it. So, all right. So we're talking about what does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach? So here's the thing. Somebody's going to have a person come up to them and say, well, I mean, church planting is not in the Bible. I don't know anything about church planting. Why should I be involved in church planting? What's the biblical call? So, so thinking in terms of people are going to ask, and you're only going to have like a 3 or 4 minute conversation, because church planters are, you know, I mean, there's our audience. They're trying to raise funds. They're having a church in the town say they shouldn't do this. We got enough churches. What's the biblical passages and the biblical teaching that, I mean, we talk broadly, you know, about the water we swim, but we don't need to say that again. But what do they say in that 3 minute conversation when they're talking to some elder at a church who's unhappy they're planting in town and questioning the biblical basis of church planting at this stage? What do they say?
Yeah, I would usually say, I actually believe there is an explicit call to church planting in the New Testament, and that's the Great Commission. Now, you may not be accustomed to thinking about the Great Commission as an explicit call to church planting, but we know it is for two reasons. Number one, we know it because the apostles responded to Jesus's words by planting new churches. So if they heard Jesus say, go baptize, teach, make disciples, and they responded by planting churches, they probably heard him right. We're probably hearing him wrong.
Like it.
And secondly, because the substance of the Great Commission, like we just talked about, is the essence of the church. You know, go baptize, teach, make disciples. That's what the church does. So Jesus wasn't talking about the Kiwanis Clubs or the Elks Lodge or any other organization. He was talking about the local church when he said that. So there is an explicit call. When Jesus says, go baptize, teach, make disciples, he's saying, go make churches. And so that's my elevator pitch, so to speak.
So then take it 2,000 years forward and say, all right, why here now?
Yeah.
So the Great Commission says to plant churches. So I could just say, well, go to Iceland. And you've had this fascinating, you know, journey there with Iceland and being involved church planting there. So why here now? We already got plenty of churches in town. How does the biblical command relate to that?
Yeah, well, the biblical command relates to that in that the Great Commission applies right now as well as it did then. So if the Great Commission was applied to the apostles and we are followers of Jesus, I don't think there's much argument about if the Great Commission applies to us. I believe most evangelical Christians believe that. I think the disconnect is the Great Commission a call to start new churches? So that's where I think, you know, the substance is. So why now? Because the Bible tells us, number one, it commands us to do it. So we would be, in a sense, disobedient if we weren't involved in starting new churches. But then beyond that, I think there is an obvious, if you take it outside the scriptural reasons, there is an obvious need for new churches. it may not, obvious might not be the right word, because it's not obvious to the naked eye. You might look around and see a lot of church buildings, or even see signs for new churches meeting in various places, and see large churches, and you might start to think, oh, the church is doing really well in North America today. But the reality is, you don't have to dig very deep below the skin level to find out that that's not actually true. 80% of churches plateaued and declining. And I'm be quoting you back to yourself to tell you this sort of stuff. You've created all these statistics. So
I made them up. I just made them up. That's how we roll. Well, super helpful. Okay. So as always, I want to encourage you to subscribe to the New Church Podcast. If you're just listening to One Off Issue, make sure you subscribe. Also, leave a review so people can find this. Let me also mention, too, that if you have this issue becoming a recurring issue for you, or you just want to dig deeper in this, I want to encourage you to go through the Church Planting Primer. It's a free 4-session guide on our website on newchurches.com, designed to help Christians understand the biblical rationale for church planting. Just discuss practical ways to get involved. You can take the course yourself, use a small group curriculum to help prepare your congregation for multiplication, and it's available free. Don't miss this. If you're a Pentecostal, it's free. If you're a Presbyterian, it's free. If you're a Baptist, it's free. If you're a Lutheran, maybe not. No, it's free to all people who have a passion for reaching people with the good news of the gospel. So make sure you go. It's available free at newchurches.com. And as always, thanks for listening to newchurches.com. Thanks for my guest, Clint Clifton, being with us as well. We'll talk to you next time on newchurches.com podcast.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you liked what you heard, take a minute to rate and review us, or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources and to participate in the Church Planting Masterclass, visit newchurches.com.